Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
CJ Stroud also throws for over 300 yards and two touchdowns, as these guys are going to be seeing a lot of each other for a long time in the AFC South over here. No sound here, guys. I know you're both
staring. That's what I thought. I thought you were throwing a sound. Like,
no, just opening up the conversation.
I like the fact that you... What the hell was that?
I'm not
at
both of you.
No, like, you didn't ask us a question.
You have the rundown.
You and I have worked together every day for a effing year and a half.
Over a year, yeah.
Yeah, for a year and a half, you and I have worked together every single day.
That's true.
You know I don't look at the rundown.
This is true.
I trust you to lead
me
in the right direction.
That's really a big reason why I'm here.
But
yes!
But
I thought Jay would bail us out.
God, stop!
That's why we know it was on you.
Yes.
Because we both.
Yeah.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. That at the top was a little thing we called sound to open the show. You guys, just so you know, if we ever do or don't go to sound.
And I will say, I think I'm completely in the right here, and I'll tell you why.
You can't
Exhibit A,
yes.
Jay Croucher.
Yes. Well, that's what threw me
I'm
off.
Very on the
Jay,
ball. I'm
Jay
very
went
on the
right
ball.
To it.
Look,
no.
I'm, you know, I
Jay reads the rundown.
Jay,
I love the rundown.
Jay, exactly.
Big rundown guy.
Big rundown guy.
Always have been.
Jay's at the show meeting.
Yep.
Jay pays attention. He's not distracted.
Jay's dedicated. Jay lives close to NBC.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
The dedication.
Exactly. No. Jay is a model employee. Jay is bright. Jay's not a disaster like me. But both Jay and I, if you watch that clip, both Jay and I are like both looking right at the camera, waiting for some sort of clip to come, some sort of sound, and you're kind of like lazying your way into this comment.
Yep. No, look, if God was pricing markets, and he might be, that's minus 400. That was Connor's fault.
Yes.
All right, fine. You know, just to make up for it, I got to the desk early today. I checked every spot.
Good.
You know what? And it was worth the laugh. Yeah. I think I might just make it a bit every couple
yes.
of weeks.
No.
Fake throw to sound.
Reasonable.
And then you guys get nervous.
Reasonable content.
You know what's going to happen, though? The next time our guys in the back are slow getting to sound, you're both going to panic and think we're not going to sound.
I don't think you've paid it. Have I ever panicked on this show?
Only about the state of the Commanders.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
what
do I
face?
Stop it. Yeah. I'm like... I'm so...
That's a great thumbnail for the show.
I'm
we can save that one.
Yeah,
Connor, look
great.
At me.
Yes, begging me. Please bail me out.
Yeah.
I'm begging
sounds.
You.
Yeah, I don't panic on this show.
Anyway, it's Waiver Wire Day.
From America, I panic. This show, like, whatever.
Yeah, that's
this is happy hour. We're in a bar, dude.
You're wearing a t-shirt.
I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah.
We're in a bar.
Yeah.
We're talking about fake football.
Come on, t-shirt look, Matthew. Very
I appreciate
bar-ish.
That. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Again, shout out to Stephanie in wardrobe.
That's right.
This is all her.
Waiver Wire Day, we'll somehow have some takeaways from whatever Monday Night Football was. I promise we'll get there. Our Back to the Futures, because it's Tuesday, and Pete, who we like to call the...
Producer Pete, backup producer.
He's the Trevor Siemian of the producers.
That's fair. Third on the depth chart,
yeah.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, Trevor Siemian producing the show. Shout out to Pete. But first, Roto World Player News, because we got some big stuff off the top. For all your player news, go to NBCSports.com. And the news we got right before the show, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor has a thumb injury. His status is in doubt. Going forward, so it could be the Zach Moss show again, guys.
That's for NFL Network. That's
Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, reporting that. So
Taylor
we'll see how that plays
in,
out.
Taylor had this in the second half and played through it. He finished the game, but obviously something that is really concerning now.
Well, and it didn't say it. Did it say his right hand, his right thumb, or it just said
not
thumb
sure got,
injury?
Just,
I mean, because that's
got very vague.
I know that seems sort of dumb, but that's actually really important because if it's your right thumb, which is he's a right-handed, I believe he's right-handed.
Yeah, holding the ball.
He carries the ball. It's hard to carry a ball with only four fingers. That's one of the reasons why I'm not an NFL running back. I only have four fingers. This is a prosthetic thumb. The other thing is that, but like if it was his left hand, here you see him in his, he's carrying it with his left hand. So maybe, you know, watching video right here, we have NFL footage, which is very nice for our show. It's hard to, I don't know. I mean, again, he might be able to play through it, but the rap sheet tweet makes it sound like he could miss significant time. They do play this week at Tennessee, so a really important matchup in the division for the Colts, who are chasing that playoff spot.
Yeah, and so Zach Moss now, he should be rostered everywhere, absolutely, and
yes.
He should be started everywhere. So it's really a top 10 option each week if he's going to be the guy behind what is a really improved offensive line in Indy, and they don't want to put the ball in Gardner Minshew's hands. And so it's a shame for Taylor, who's coming off his best game of the season, finally really looked like Jonathan Taylor of 2021 again, but if he's to miss time, Moss is about as good a backup option as there's been.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to panic just yet again. It's a show. I never panic.
You don't panic.
But honestly, again, we don't know the severity of the injury. We don't know if he's going to be able to play through it. But it is, as you head into waivers tonight, it's probably going to be towards the end of the week before we find out more news. Hopefully, we get more news on this before tonight. But on the chance that we don't, to your point, Zach Moss is available in over 50% of Yahoo leagues. I think a lot of people dropped him after the last couple of weeks when Jonathan Taylor was clear that he'd sort of taken over the backfield. But in all the games that Jonathan Taylor missed this season, Zach Moss averaged over 17 fantasy points per game. He averaged 24 touches per game. The last time he played Tennessee, that was week 5, no Jonathan Taylor, or Jonathan Taylor just got played only a handful of snaps. Zach Moss, 25 for 195 and 2 touchdowns against the Titans. In fact, even before Taylor came back, he was averaging over 107 yards from scrimmage. You see it there on your screen in terms of the production he was having in the games and that he started this year for the Indianapolis Colts. And honestly, guys, even if Taylor can play, but if he's limited by the thumb, if they don't want him to play significant, you know, like
passing downs,
passing downs. Like, could you, if Zach Moss, because we saw there was a stretch there where both guys were active and Zach Moss had, you know, high-end flex, low-end RB2 value. So I think Zach Moss, absolutely, to your point, Jay, becomes a priority on the waiver wire tonight if he was dropped in your league.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is just with these injuries, you just never know. Like, Myles Garrett on the weekend said he heard a pop in his shoulder. His arm was in a sling. He couldn't get dressed by himself. I would have said that it was minus 800, that he was out for multiple weeks. He's fine. He's sore, and he's going to play this weekend. So you just don't know sometimes. So maybe Taylor will just be fine, and we'll just play and play limited, or they'll be able to mitigate the issue with his thumb. But regardless, in terms of an action, the only action is to get Zach Moss if you can somehow, and start him if you do.
It is a weird thing because, and I'm trying to think of an example and nothing's coming to mind right now, but there are also times like the opposite of that. It's where just like, you know, somebody gets up for the game. Yeah, I got a little nicked up. I think I'm
Derrick
fine.
Derrick Henry in 2021, when he fractured his foot against the Colts, he played through the second half. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just a bit banged up. Oh, no, my foot is broken. I'm done. So it is. Yeah.
I felt like Austin Eckler at the beginning of the year, it didn't seem like that was a major injury. He was just like, yeah, I'm a little, and then he missed like a month.
Right. Yeah. And still doesn't look right, honestly.
No, honestly, he does not. So, I mean, yeah, you never know until they sort of get in and they look at it and everything like that. I mean, didn't Daniel Jones finish the game with a torn ACL this year?
No, I think he came out. He played one more snap.
He played one more snap.
And then it really
still
buckled
Phil
down.
Rivers played an AFC title game with a torn ACL.
Yes.
Terrell Owens and the Super Bowl. You just never know what these guys can do with their bodies.
So, yeah. But anyway, it's none of it's ideal. And so, yes, that becomes very important tonight for Zach Moss. And by the way, we're going to talk about this because we have there's a bunch of teams on bye.
Yeah,
right?
Let's jump into the rest of the running back waivers for Waiver Wire, and we'll start right there with those notable running backs on the bye in Week 13, like you said, Matthew, with Baltimore, Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell, Buffalo, James Cook, Chicago, Khalil Herbert and Deontay Foreman. With Vegas, of course, Josh Jacobs, Minnesota, Alexander Mattison, and if you're hoping for more for Ty Chandler, and with the Giants, Saquon Barkley. So a lot of big names on the list on the bye in Week 13.
Yeah, especially Jacobs, Barkley, and Cook. I think they were starting in most leagues. Gus Edwards, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, prior to last week, I mean, Gus Edwards has been starting in most leagues as well. So you might need a running back. And one of the other things we're going to talk about is, honestly, like, we'll talk about some of the guys available, but there ain't much out there.
No.
Like, there's not like an obvious guy where you're like, go. So Zach Moss, and so one of the things we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about important insurance running backs. And Zach Moss, just, again, whether he plays this week a full complement of snaps, half the thing, or Taylor's going to play through the injury and he's going to get the majority work, the fact is it just goes to underscore the importance of, as we head towards the playoffs, of your roster construction, protecting your star running backs and having those insurance running backs when guys go down. Because it's always weird. You never know. You never know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And two quick mentions.
We thought Taylor was fine yesterday.
Yep. I mean, there's more attrition at that position than any in U.S. sports. Yeah.
Two quick mentions for us here, because they don't meet our threshold of availability. They're both 38% available. Keaton Mitchell on the Ravens, we talked about how he has the bye. If he's somehow out there in your league, very important name to keep an eye on. Good chance he's not. And Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard against the Bucks this weekend, 38% available because of all the change on this coaching staff now, Barry.
So not only has Frank Reich been fired by the Carolina Panthers, but also Deuce Staley, their running back coach.
And Josh McCown.
Yeah, then Josh McCown. So, I mean, like, again, we just talk about variance. And so whether it's, you know, Chuba Hubbard, it's at some points during the season, it's been the Chuba Hubbard show. And at other points, it's been a committee between him and Miles Sanders. But the fact is that he's been by far the most effective running back of the two of them. Clearly, the team is not happy, understandably so, of how that offense is going, you know, in Carolina. And so, for me, you know, this is just this is somebody that I think is because there's variance in the coaching game as well in the regime, that you could see a scenario where Hubbard ends up becoming the starting running back here.
Yep.
Because they've got to get something going, and he's, again, like, he had 92 total yards in Week 12. He got into the end zone. He's just looked much better than Miles Sanders this year.
Yep. And just quickly on Keaton Mitchell, this is a strange thing to say, but I think Baltimore's replacement for Mark Andrews, in a way, is going to be Keaton Mitchell, because they need to find more ways to juice their offense. They've not looked great on offense recently. They've been struggling against the Chargers' defense. It's not very good. They didn't really move the ball that well. Mitchell just gives them a spark. He gives them an extra dimension. I really think it's going to be Mitchell, Zay Flowers, and Odell, and those are the three guys his offense will run through.
Well, you saw the manufactured touches for Zay Flowers. We didn't really get into that game that much yesterday. We had a lot to cover. But, yes, 46% of the snaps in Week 12, he overtook that backfield, and that was a game in which it was close. It's not like the Ravens were in pass-happy, we've got to come back mode, so you would think where Mitchell would be out there. Like, it seems like, you know, they're really starting to trust the young man, and to your point, he gives them an element of speed and big playability. I'm not really to bail on Gus Edwards, you know. They should have given him the goal line carry. He didn't get it down there. But yeah, Gus Edwards, again, becomes very touched. He's a touchdown-dependent running back who isn't involved in the passing game. That's going to be Keaton Mitchell. So he's somebody we've talked about a lot on the show over the last month, but still out there in almost 40% of leagues. They're on a bye this week, but worth picking up if he is out there and you don't have an immediate need this week.
There's a good chance those guys aren't available, so we'll move to someone who most likely is, and that's Dolphins running back Jeff Wilson Jr. against the Commanders, 83% available. Wilson had a really good game against the Jets in Week 12, 11 carries, 56 yards, 3 catches, 17 yards. Just looked good, Matthew. I think that was the takeaway. We don't know the status of Devon Achane right now. That's another thing to keep in mind here going forward.
A lot of different moving parts here, yeah. And so there's a chance that Wilson goes back to being third string if Achane is active. We don't know what the status is. But in a game in which I think the Miami Dolphins honestly crush my Commanders, you know, it's two different offenses. It's just two different teams, right? Yes. I mean, like, the Commanders are not good. And the Dolphins are a very good offense, and so could you see a scenario where Wilson's getting some work in the second half? Again, if Achane's out, and you're telling me here's a guy that's going to get double-digit touches against the Commanders, I'm in, right? But if Achane plays, there's still a chance that Wilson, given his injury history, we've seen Achane come back and have to leave early. I agree with you. I thought Wilson looked like the more explosive back compared to Mostert. Mostert got into the end zone twice, so you were fine with it, but as somebody who has a lot of Mostert and doesn't have a lot of Jeff Wilson in leagues, I watched that game. I was like, I hope McDaniel isn't paying attention. Because, you know, real talk, Wilson looked like the more explosive back, fresher at this point of the season, which, you know, stands to reason.
I think the key as well is their upcoming schedule. So you mentioned the Commanders. They're 9.5-point favorites there. That's going to close double digits, that line. Then the week after, they're home to the Titans, who don't have the run defense of years past, and the Dolphins are going to be 12.5, 13-point favorites home to Tennessee in that game with how Will Levis has looked. And they get home to the Jets again, who they were able to run on. So it's a very favorable upcoming 3 weeks. He is dependent on Achan being out or Mostert. The thing with Mostert as well, Mostert always gets hurt. Like they're not going to run Mostert into the ground these last few weeks because this team has gone to the playoffs.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel's been with Mostert side by side. He knows the deal of how to really walk the fine line.
And in a game in which we think the Dolphins are basically going to be double-digit favorites, like, could you see Mostert getting, you know, some rest in the second half and Wilson getting some more run as they try to get him up to speed to get that depth in the running back room going? So anyway, Jeff Wilson Jr. out there in, you know, 83% of leagues, definitely worth, you know, a spot start this week if you're desperate.
Let's take a look at Barry's priority insurance running backs here. We got Rico Dowdle, Tajay Spears, Elijah Mitchell, Kenneth Gainwell, Samaje Perine, Ty Chandler, D'Ernest Johnson, Royce Freeman, Joshua Kelly, and Roschon Johnson. Now, Jay, we know these are true insurance running backs in case of injury to the guy in front. But out of all of these, who do you think is the viable desperation play this week, if any?
It's not great, is it?
No,
it's not a very great list. It feels like this kind of segment is sponsored by Rico Dowdle these days. He's the definitional player. I think the guy who has the most upside is Roschon Johnson, and we'll see what happens with the Bears and their running back situation dealing with some injuries. But I just think the combination of his talent, their youth, his potential to be a three-down guy, Roschon is the one who's most interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, the only issue is the Bears are on a bye this week. But we want to mention him, and we're going to talk about that game coming up and just how brutal. But it did seem like, I mean, they used Roschon a lot more than Khalil Herbert last night. I mean, they drop back to pass a ton, so maybe that's part of it. They trust Johnson more in the passing game, and we'll see what happens when Foreman comes back. But to your point, like, this is somebody that had nice draft capital, and we talked about the fact that
they like him a lot.
In any college where he didn't have to play behind Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson is a star in college. So that's somebody who I think is interesting, but again, probably not available this week. If I had to pick somebody for, like, this week, you know, Dowdle is somebody. Cowboys are averaging almost 30 running back touches a game, so Dowdle's been starting to get some work as well. And I'll just say, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, who's always a threat to fall into the end zone. They don't have a lot of answers in New England, so maybe they go run heavy. Zeke has gotten double-digit touches each of the last 2 weeks. I know he didn't score against the Giants. It was Ramondre, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. But still, just, you know, In a week in which you're truly desperate, there aren't any kind of obvious guys to go pick up, you know, Zeke's going to get double-digit touches and have a chance to fall into the end zone. And that's kind of what you're hoping for. It's sort of desperation. The other guy I might mention might be Patrick Taylor. I know he didn't do anything at all on Thursday against, you know, for the Packers. And we'll see what happens with Aaron Jones. But I don't think A.J. Dillon's very good.
And he just
looks. He looks
up.
Like he's banged up. He looks like he's moving slow.
Yeah.
And so concrete. Taylor's the passing down back. And as that passing offense has been getting going under Jordan Love, I could maybe see some more run for Patrick Taylor this week.
The other thing too,
if
is
Jones
the,
is out,
the Packers. So they played the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, which is suddenly. NBC just keeps on pulling out these great games out of nowhere. Like, this game had no right to be compelling. Now, Jordan Love is apparently very good. Vikings-Broncos a week ago, that was supposed to be bad. Now it turned out to be good. So that's going to be a good one. And the Chiefs, they don't have a great rushing defense. That's how you attack them. And then after that, like, the Packers, who are fine, they're not a great team, but I think they're going to be favored in every single game the rest of the way. Like, they have a very easy schedule, so it would be favorable to their running backs.
They might sneak into the playoffs.
I think they're going to make the playoffs after Minnesota lost last night.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, I think they're going to be the seventh seed.
Atlanta has a losing record, and they could host the home playoff game.
That would be great. Yeah,
so
Atlanta home to
Dallas.
Home to Dallas.
They're going to be 8-point dogs at home in the playoff game.
Yeah, to Dallas.
The NFC. Let's move over to the wide receivers. On the waiver wire here, and like we did with running backs, we'll start with the notable wide receivers on the bye in Week 13. Of course, Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. for the Ravens, Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis for the Bills, DJ Moore for Chicago. Over in Vegas, Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers, who had a good resurgent week last week. Minnesota, Justin Jefferson still trying to get healthy. Now he has some extended time. And Jordan Addison, who had a pretty tough Monday Night Football game, but still a guy that you would think you're starting in most cases anyway.
No doubt. So, I mean, a lot of big names that you're not going to be without. It's better news with the wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. Big difference.
So, a lot more. And so, again, like, I think this week especially, you want to try to play the minimum amount of running backs that you can, and then, you know, you'll use a wide receiver at your flex. And it starts with a guy that we've also been talking about for a few weeks now, but that's Jaden Reed. Speaking of the Packers and this resurgent offense, you mentioned the Chiefs game coming up. The Chiefs have struggled against the slot, which is where Jaden Reed is playing, and there's a little bit of Debo to Jaden Reed's game in terms of how they're using him. Not
creativity,
saying that they're not in terms of, you know, using him in the backfield and in terms of trying to get him in motion, trying to get the ball in his hands in a bunch of different ways. Had an almost 27% target share last week. He's now scored in three straight games since week seven. He's the 23rd best wide receiver in fantasy. And again, we all sort of think Jordan Love might be good.
So Jordan Love on the season now, he ranks ninth among quarterbacks in EPA per dropback. He ranks higher than Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson. So interested for your breakdown, Connor, because to me, just comparing his two games this season against the Lions, early season against the Lions, he was just a mess. Like, everything was out of rhythm. And then in Detroit on Thanksgiving, he looks like an absolute monster. Do you think this is real, and what's changed?
Well, I think, number one, it's a young offense that guys are actually doing their job. You saw dysfunction those weeks, wide receivers running into each other, an offensive line that was trying to figure out the right combination with a ton of new faces, especially against Bakhtiari out again. So I think everything around him has gradually improved and gotten more steady. And this is a dude that's always had the talent. He's got a big arm. He can extend plays. He looks more confident. The turnover-worthy plays went down. So everything's looking in the right direction for Jordan Love. But I also think Matt LaFleur's called a really, really good offense around him finally, too. And Christian Watson's health. Christian Watson was not even in play for a long time.
Watson, I mean,
and the run game has struggled, so they've had to go to the air.
Right. Yeah.
Watson is the key to me, and Love is obviously made great strides, and I agree with everything he said, but the fact that Watson was a monster down the end of the stretch, at the end of the stretch last season. Like, Rodgers, he was Rodgers' guy. Rodgers trusted him more than anyone else in that offense, and now it seems like he is back, and he had his best game of the season against Detroit.
He's the guy that can go up and make a play for the quarterback, and without him, they didn't have anyone in the offense that would do that for Jordan Love. So to me, that's the big difference right now, but it is great to have Jaden Reed out there having success as well.
And available in 52% of Yahoo League, so he makes our threshold. Next one is, you know, we go from an emerging offense to a stinky one. But the fact of the matter is another guy we've talked about a decent amount, Pop Douglas, DeMario Douglas, is the lead wide receiver of the New England Patriots. We saw some Devontae Parker as well last week, but DeMario Douglas now has four straight games with at least five receptions since week seven. He's got a 23.5% target share, and you like this matchup against the Chargers this week that have allowed the third most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. We expect them, whoever's quarterback for the Patriots, to have to throw, and when they throw, they're likely going to throw to DeMario Douglas, who's out there in 64% of leagues.
Yeah, and I think this with the Chargers as well. Their non-Asante Samuel corners have been dreadful. So any matchup he sees that isn't him, I mean, the question is, Jay, is whoever's under center enough to get it done for Douglas, or does he just get the volume that it might not matter?
I think the thing with Douglas, and it is relatively uninspiring because you don't want a piece of this New England offense, but he is a wide receiver one on an NFL offense that is going to be losing a lot of the time and has to throw.
Right.
And so even if they're running whatever the hell the Bears were running last night with their screen offense, even if you're running that, he's still going to get receptions. So particularly in PPR, I think he'll have some value.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, like, in a game in which they couldn't score against the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, like, he still went, he went 6 for 49. He got you 10.9 fantasy points in a PPR format. And, like, is that great? No, but, like, that's usable. That's usable, again, in a week in which there are six teams on a bye and there's not a lot out there on the waiver wire. I think you could do worse than DeMario Douglas. And let's be honest, you probably have.
Our next one, Curtis Samuel, 72% available. He's got the Dolphins, then a bye week. Week 12 against the Cowboys, 12 targets, 9 catches, 100 yards here for Curtis Samuel, who's been involved in this pass-happy offense this year.
Yeah, right, and it's one of the reasons why he did well against the Cowboys is where they struggle against the slot. They are being creative in how they're using Curtis Samuel. This matchup against the Dolphins, it should face a similar game script, right? So you've got an offense that's going to score a lot of points against Washington. There'll be a negative game script. They'll be throwing, and they'll be throwing against a team that struggles in slot coverage. Dolphins allow the eighth most receptions per game to the slot. And so Curtis Samuel, who is a talented player, he's good after the catch. And again, I mean, Howell's throwing it 40, 50 times a game. He has to. Like, they're just not running the ball effectively as well. 12 targets in week 12 when they were in crazy comeback mode against the Cowboys. And so when he sees at least 55% of the snaps this season, I expect him to do that on Sunday against the Dolphins. He's averaging over 12 fantasy points per game. So. Yep.
The thing with Samuel is his usage is just all over the place. Like some weeks he's just non-existent, and then last week he's wide receiver one on Thanksgiving. And I think the key thing with him is he is one of the most matchup-dependent players in the league, because if you are playing a team that has a bad slot corner and good outside corners, then they just go to him a ton. If you're playing a team that plays a ton of man coverage, then they go to him a ton disproportionately. So Miami's a bit of an awkward one because they play a lot of zone coverage as opposed to man, but they're not great from the slot because you've got Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard on the outside. Yep. I think the tiebreaker is the fact that they're going to be double-digit underdogs and they're just going to have to throw. So you'd think Samuel would be out there a lot, especially after last week.
Again, and we're not talking about superstars or guys that are going to make the love list. We're talking about, hey, find me somebody in the waiver wire that could be usable this week.
Yeah, give me 9 points.
Viable flex.
A viable flex this week. That's what we're doing here.
Well, speaking of that, Jonathan Mingo of the Panthers, available in 95% of leagues. At the Bucs this week in Week 12 against the Titans, he had 4 catches for 60 yards. We talked about the dysfunction of this Carolina coaching staff right now. Thomas Brown will take over the play calling again after Frank Reich was fired. The thing is, as much as Mingo has had some volume, nothing has been smooth in this offense, including him.
I think I've bet the over on Mingo. Mingo every week is set at like 29.5 receiving yards, and each week I'm like, this guy's playing every snap, and he's the starting wide receiver on an NFL team. He can't be set that low. And I think I was 2-7 betting that. And I was like, so coming into this week, I'm like, all right, I'm done with Mingo. And then he goes for 60 yards and catches the over, of course. But, I mean, he is out there. And there is, to your point earlier, there's more variance with the new coaching around him. But just came for your thoughts, Connor, like Bryce Young. Do you think Bryce Young is getting better? Because it feels like he's getting worse.
I think he's losing. Because you got to realize, you come from Alabama, where you're a dominant player across college football for 2 years, and everything's great around you, including yourself. So when you come into summer, you still have that confidence. Now you've been battered. Nothing's gone right for you. You're probably thinking, I just got everybody here fired. You start to lose that confidence. So, yeah, I think he has gotten worse, but everything around him has gotten worse. And Mingo was not a true wide receiver in college. He was a gadgety Ole Miss player. Lane Kiffin got him a lot of weird scripted plays. He was great at that. Now he goes to the Panthers, and it's like, you got to be our number two. Good luck out there. So it's a mess. There's no way around it.
6 targets in 3 straight games for Mingo. It's a good matchup against Tampa Bay, who allows the most yards per game to opposing wide receivers. And you said there's variance there. So we'll see. I think if you are Bryce Young, given all the givens, like he's not immune to the criticism. He's not, you know, unaware of it, I'm sure. And then you also, again, just the success of C.J. Stroud. Again, that's not his fault. You know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is that both guys went to rebuilding programs. They were 1-2 in the draft, and C.J. Stroud is balling out, and the Texans are on the verge of making the playoffs, and the Panthers have won one game, weirdly, against C.J. Stroud. Yeah. But, Frank Reich, who is, like, this kind, beloved quarterback whisperer, that's the kind of the knock on him, and now he's been fired. And so, I would think if you were Bryce Young.
David Tepper gave an amazing press conference, I think this morning, maybe yesterday, where he was basically like, look, Frank Reich and Bryce Young, that was my decision. The buck stops with me. It's like, Bryce Young's still on your team.
Yes.
Like, he's still the number one pick. You've got to.
Like, it was long-winded.
Yeah.
It was,
and he couched it. He's like, we still believe in Bryce. Yeah. But it's like, you're pretty clearly like, why are you talking about C.J. Stroud? Just don't say C.J. Stroud's name, because it's just the connotations for that team.
I'm going to tell you, and so I'm glad you brought up David Tepper, because I'm so annoyed. You have no idea, and I'll tell you why. So I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but Dan Snyder was trending on Twitter. This is true, on X, whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, so I'm clicking on it. And you know why he was trending? Because people were comparing him to David Tepper. They're like, oh, the new Dan Snyder is David Tepper. Like, he's screwing up the franchise, you know, the way that Snyder did. And so, oh, we now have a new Dan Snyder. I'm like, oh, no. How dare you? And I want to go wide on me right here. How dare you, Carolina Panthers and the fan base, that anyone else dared to put David Tepper and Dan Snyder's name in the same sentence? I get it. Tepper is meddling too much. But so he's got a first-year head coach. He fired coaches back-to-back? for a Commander, that's a Tuesday. Do you understand? Like, like David Tepper hasn't gotten anywhere near Dan Snyder. No. Let me know when the DEA raids your locker room. Let me know when the Panthers can't shower after the game. Let me know when Beth Wilkinson and Mary Jo White do investigations. Yeah. Let me know when David Tepper has to pay $1.6 million to a team employee for some reason, right? You know, to sign an NDA. Let me know when there are 45 former female employees of the Carolina Panthers that all are under NDA for some reason. Let me know when David Tepper has been credibly accused of sexual harassment by a team marketing executive. Let me know when he's been when David Tepper has to testify to Congress. Let me know. Let me know, okay, when David Tepper is sued by not one, not two, but three different states. Let me know. Let me know when David Tepper decides to honor the greatest player in Carolina Panthers history and puts up a dime store mannequin as a statue to that player, and then names a street after that player in front of a bunch of porta potties in the parking lot. Let me know. Let me know when David Tepper says I'm never changing the name of the team, and then has to change the name of the team a year later. Let me know. When David Tepper is accused of spying on the cheerleaders and getting naked photos of them and then pipping them out to the team sponsors. Let me know when David Tepper is accused of that, okay? And when that happens, when all of that happens, then you can compare David Tepper to Dan Snyder. But until that point, do not take away the worst owner in professional sports history from Commanders fans, because we had to live that hell for 20 years. And you, Panthers fans, all you've had is a couple of tough years. That's it.
Yes, we'll stand.
I'm just saying. I was so offended.
Stand. Good. Good by you, Matthew. One of your better moments on the show.
And that's why, and by the way, that's why Commanders fans drink free today. That's why Commanders fans drink free. Because they try to take our pain.
Yeah.
All these Panthers fans bitching about David Tepper. Stop it. Whatever. He made one bad draft pick.
Yep.
He made one draft bad. We had Marty Schottenheimer, who won eight games with Tony Effin Banks. And then he gets rid of Marty for Steve Spurrier. Oh, my God. Let me know when David Tepper signs Albert Haynesworth to a $100 million deal.
Haynesworth? Yeah.
Let me – listen, you say what you want. At least Scott Fitterer. Scott Fitterer knows what he's doing. Scott Fitterer is a real general manager who's respected in the NFL. He's having a GM with one hand tied by the back. But Scott Fitterer is a real GM who knows what he's doing, had a ton of success at Seattle. Like, we had 10 years of Bruce Allen, whose only qualification was clear, the worst general manager in sports history, but he was golfing and drinking buddies with Snyder when he wasn't sending, you know, racist emails.
It's actually 1:04 p.m. show ended.
Yeah.
4 minutes.
Yeah, we've been off Peacock for a couple of minutes.
You
didn't even get to mix in the sewage flying from the sky of the stadium.
It reminds me of when Bane tells Christian Bale that you merely adopted the darkness.
Yes!
You were born in it. You were molded by it.
Molded by it.
Yeah, exactly.
1,000%. Molded by that. It's David Tepper. You guys David complaining Tepper. About David Tepper. It's not even close. It's not even close.
So,
by the way, and there's like
poor,
you know.
Poor Jonathan Mingo.
As far as
I know, the Panthers stadium, like, you know, like sewage doesn't rain down on fans.
From the sky.
I mean, like, there's a million other things that I could talk about. Like, no one's accused David Tepper of financial impropriety and stealing money from other owners from season ticket holders. Stop it.
Okay.
Well done.
Right. How do we go from that to A.T. Perry?
A.T. Perry.
Yeah.
Next up on the waiver wire, Saints wide receiver, rookie wide receiver. He's available in 97% of leagues. Listen, with A.T. Perry, you're probably wondering, why the heck would I pick up a guy that had 2 targets, 1 catch, 7 yards in Week 12? Well, Chris Olave left the game with a concussion. Rashid Shaheed is dealing with a quad injury, reportedly unlikely to play this week. They have the Lions defense that I'm going to give him a little break here, Jay. The Lions defense has been vulnerable. So A.T. Perry, you probably don't know what you're getting, but the fact is he has to be out on the field.
Well, it's like the Pop Douglas thing, where he's wide receiver one, somehow, I think, for an NFL team particularly. So it seems like Rashid Shaheed is not going to play. He's unlikely. Chris Olave will see with the concussion. I think about 1 in 5 players come back the next week from a concussion.
It's very
so
rare.
I would expect that he doesn't go, particularly as he dealt with concussion last year too. So I think that it'll probably be A.T. Perry, wide receiver one, against this Detroit Lions defense, which is a mess right now. So he's probably flex viable, which is a strange thing to say out loud.
He's played 80% of the snaps, basically, each of the last 2 weeks. So, we like A.T. Perry.
Our last one here, Greg Dortch. Greg Dortch back on the waiver.
The human Dortch,
doesn't
baby.
Doesn't it feel good to have Greg Dortch back? 98% available. He's against the Steelers.
Only three catches, 27 yards and a touchdown, but nine targets. Michael Wilson has missed the last two games. When Michael Wilson's healthy, it'll be interesting to see how this changes for the human.
And Hollywood Brown isn't you know, doesn't feel like he's 100% either, but 17 targets the past 2 weeks as well. He's averaging double-digit fantasy points. We like the human torch here. And it does seem like as Kyler Murray gets back in speed, he doesn't feel like Kyler Murray wants to, whether it's because he doesn't have Michael Wilson, because Hollywood Brown is banged up, or they're just paying more attention to him. But it does feel like, as you watch these games, there's more and more line of scrimmage stuff, short stuff, yep, than there is taking a bunch of deep shots as well. So, yeah, in deeper leagues, especially if Wilson misses time again this weekend, the human torch back again.
Let's recap Barry's Week 13 top wide receiver waiver targets. We started with Jaden Reed, who's available in 52% of leagues. He's been heavily involved in the Packers offense that's had some success in recent weeks with Jordan Love improving. Pop Douglas, available in 64% of leagues with Curtis Samuel. He's been up and down for Washington, but you catch him on a good week and you could have a very viable wide receiver there in your lineup. Jonathan Mingo and A.T. Perry available in majority of leagues, and the same can be said for Greg Dortch. With that, let's move over to the tight ends here, and a quick mention on Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely, who's filling in, of course, for Mark Andrews. Yes, Baltimore is on the bye. Likely is available in 48% of leagues. And listen, four catches, 40 yards against the Chargers in Week 12. He had the six targets. We know how much of a barren wasteland the position can be, Matthew. And Likely, when Andrews is out, is a viable, you know, kind of streaming tight end at most.
Yeah, I mean, they were looking for him often on Sunday night, which was nice. Again, the whole Ravens offense just struggled, but it was nice to see Likely getting a decent amount of the targets in a game in which they didn't throw that much. He did have a 20% target share. Didn't really show up in the box score, but yes, given the position, given the role that Andrews has in that offense, we talked about wanting to replace him with Flowers and, you know, and Mitchell and OBJ, but Likely as a tight end, and like, again, you know, He's certainly, he would be my number one if you didn't need a tight end this week, and he's still out there in over 50% of leagues. Again, they're on a bye this week. But I would say this, like, Pat Freiermuth, welcome back.
Yes.
Still, you know, he's probably the number one waiver pickup across all positions this week.
Yeah.
Because he's actually viable. He's a top 10 guy, and it's not just a bye week fill-in. I expect this to be the case for the rest of the season. 34% target share. You saw the 11 targets against the Bengals. He was targeted on almost 50% of his routes. And part of it, listen, the Bengals really struggle against, well, everything, but specifically tight ends. Like, yes. So they took advantage of that. But, like, we talked about this. Pickett looked better. Freiermuth looked like the guy he was drafted to be, not the guy we've seen at the beginning of the season. And you like this matchup against the Cardinals, as over the last 4 weeks, Arizona, a bottom 10 defense in terms of most fantasy points allowed to opposing tight ends. He's my number one pickup overall this week if you need somebody to play the rest of the season, given how bad tight end is.
Yep, and in our show league, some people built their teams around Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey. I built mine around Pat Freiermuth, so I was very happy to see him.
And Najee Harris.
And Najee Harris. Unfortunately, I benched Pat Freiermuth this week for Jake Ferguson, but he will be very much in my lineup this coming week. He's had 60-plus receptions each of the first two seasons. He's end-of-the-second-round pick, and he had seven touchdowns his first. Like, he's got talent, yes, and a picket in this new offense. And here's the thing. It's like, you might think, all right, the Bengals have a terrible defense. This isn't real. The Steelers have an incredibly easy schedule. They play terrible defenses the rest of the way, too. So I think that Freiermuth is the thing.
Once nicknamed Baby Gronk. Pat Freiermuth.
Once nicknamed.
Back in his college days.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
Makes sense. Our next one, Cade Otton. Bucks tight end Cade Otton. He's got the Panthers. He's available in 71% of leagues. Week 12 against the Colts, four targets, four catches, 45 yards. And, I mean, when you look at this, Matthew, once again, with the bye weeks, you might be a little desperate, and Otton might bring you consistency if he can get you 8 or 9 points.
And that's what it is, 45 receptions in three of the past four, four more receptions in five of the past six. Baker's using him. It's a very narrow target tree in Tampa Bay. It's Evans, it's Godwin, it's Rashad White out of the backfield, and now Cade Otton starting to get involved. They play the Panthers this week and then at Atlanta, so at Green Bay, Jacksonville. Some nice defenses in there, but nothing that totally scares you. But you're right. He is, if you need 9 points from your tight end, that's Cade Otton.
Jay, our next one, Gerald Everett. The key with him is, besides being available in almost 80% of leagues, he's caught three touchdowns in the last five games for the Chargers.
Yep, just another touchdown-dependent tight end. But he did play his most snap percentage since week six. There's just not many other people on this offense right now in the passing game. So by that, I think you can do worse than Gerald Everett.
Juwan Johnson of the Saints, he's available in 91% of leagues. We talked about how the Lions' defense has struggled. That's what's on tap for the Saints. We also talked about the injuries to Olave and Shaheed here, Matthew. Maybe a bump in snaps and targets for Juwan Johnson.
He got 7 targets in Week 12. It's a nice matchup with the Lions, who have allowed 5 touchdowns to tight ends, tied for 6th most in the NFL. Juwan Johnson, TikTok star and potentially fantasy savior in Week 13. Savior being used in quotes, like usable.
Our last tight end, Jay, Chig Okonkwo against the Colts, available in 74% of leagues. Only 4 catches for 45 yards, but kind of fits that Cade Otton mold of, can you get 8 or 9 points from him?
Yeah, and 45 yards, unfortunately, was a season high for Chig Okonkwo. Now, he's been close to bigger plays. He's just kind of gone through the hands, and a lot of it's been on him. But I do think there is some upside against an Indy secondary that doesn't really scare you.
The Colts were bottom 10 in terms of both receptions and yards allowed to opposing tight ends. And so, right, similar to Cade Otton, it's like he's 9 points with a shot at a touchdown. And that's, you know, sometimes when you're swimming in these brutal tight end waters, that's all you can hope for.
All right, we move over to quarterbacks on your waivers, and we start with Baker Mayfield, who's had a lot to say after this weekend, and most notably, he talked about playing through an ankle injury. Here's Baker Mayfield.
He's been banged up.
At first, it didn't feel very good, then it kind of eased up as the game went on, but once the adrenaline went down, it's there.
It's rolling out and everything on it, too.
Yeah, adrenaline, and it's a hell of a drug.
Baker Mayfield on, you know, not really making excuses or anything right there. He's available in only 48% of leagues, and Todd Bowles also commented on Baker's status that he has a sore ankle. We'll see how he's feeling during the week, but the MRI came out negative, so that's a good thing.
It is. He's a gamer. Mayfield's a gamer, and I will tell you, I've interviewed the guy. Like, if you met him, you'd like him. If you met, like, he's a, like, I know the press likes to beat him up sometimes, but I think his teammates like him as well. He's had multiple touchdown passes in 4 of the past 5 games. Fantasy managers starting to like him as well. Panthers bottom 3 in the NFL in terms of pressure rate this season. Should be a clean pocket for maybe a less than mobile Baker Mayfield. He's available in about 48% of leagues, so just right there on the cusp. But, you know, if you need a tight end, he'd be my favorite streamer this week as well. I noticed this, Jay, when Connor throws to sound, so you can't see this for people that are watching, but we have a TV underneath the camera that's looking at us. And so we will watch back what you guys see so that we know, like, when we should talk. And Connor does this thing where he sort of leans forward into sound. And that's what he did yesterday. He's like, he was doing his thing and he started leaning forward. And you're like, it's a little bit of a lean.
Yes.
And so
that actually got banned when, along with when Kenny Pickett did the fake slide. That was also banned.
No leaning?
You can't do that. Yeah, you can't
do that. All right, I'll cut it out. I'm guilty at this point. There's no hope for me being innocent on this one.
So, don't know why.
So I would say that, like, Baker Mayfield would be my guy if you just need somebody this week. But if I'm looking rest of the season, I think Jordan Love.
Yes.
Who's had 3 straight games of multiple touchdown passes, back-to-back games with 20 more fantasy points. And he's getting you some points with his legs,
that's
Jay, as well.
He is. And he's quarterback 9 on the season. And he's getting better and better. And he's got an easy schedule the rest of the way. So I think he is potentially just a top 10 guy going forward. Kenny Pickett, I don't think, is a top 10 guy going forward. But he does have a favorable schedule. And he clearly looks a lot better in this new offense. And then Derek Carr, I can't get too excited about Derek Carr, Matthew, not with all his weapons gone, but he does have a favorable matchup.
And he's thrown for 300 yards in 4 of the past 5 full games. Detroit allows a touchdown pass at the second highest rate over the last month as well. So in a game in which they're likely trailing and a bit of a shootout, you know, maybe it's some dump-offs to Alvin Kamara that he runs into the end zone.
If you need a defense to stream, take a look at the Jaguars against the Bengals, which will be led by Jake Browning, again available in 67% of leagues. The Falcons against the Tim Boyle-led Jets, 90% available. And the Chargers defense, don't laugh, they have whoever is playing quarterback for the Patriots, 84% available. And if you need to pick somebody up that we talked about today, you probably have to make a tough decision with the droppables. Here's some droppable players, some close calls, Josh Dobbs, Geno Smith, at running back, Khalil Herbert, Damian Pierce, Deontay Foreman, at wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, Tyler Boyd, the injured Rashid Shaheed, and at tight end, Kyle Pitts and Mark Andrews.
Yeah, let's see with Josh Dobbs, and we'll get into that after the break in that game, but I would rather drop someone else just because he is QB10 on the season if he keeps his job, but he's still viable, I think.
All right, with that, we're going to take our first break. When we're back, you heard it from Jay, our Monday Night Football takeaways, what to do with Josh Dobbs, Justin Fields going forward. We'll be back after this.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. so we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie, so we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
First off, can't fumble. Need better ball security on that. And it's crazy because, you know, Roshan, I think he fumbled a play or two before I fumbled on the first one. So I'm like telling him, yo, ball security is the most important thing right now. Then 2 plays later, I fumble. At the end of the day, when you do have that opportunity at the end of the game, everything before that, like I said before, it's out the window. So you have, that's all you have. I forgot what the score was, but all I know is that we needed a field goal. And, you know, those 2 fumbles that I had, it was over with.
That was Justin Fields on getting it done against the Vikings, and I wouldn't call it a thriller. Definitely a bit of a...
it wasn't thrilling.
It was the opposite of a thriller.
Yes.
It was a snooze fest.
Right.
It was a thank God there's betting in fantasy. Yes. Otherwise, I'm bailing on this game.
I was only watching at the end because, one, I talk about it on this show, and then, two, the Justin Fields passing yards prop needed his final
and
throw of the
there.
Game to get
which
there.
Which needed to get us a win because we didn't have it in us.
Yeah, exactly. In a game in which everything else went wrong for the Vikings, Alexander Mattison does cash the over on his rushing prop.
It looked good.
And so,
Great tweet from Scott Fish. Do these teams realize children are watching?
It's
even better because Scott and his family are Vikings fans,
yes,
I believe.
They are.
This really, really hits home.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Congratulations, by the way, to me and Connor. Made second round of the Scott Fish Bowl playoffs that came out this morning. Scott Fish does a great job with the Scott Fish Bowl every year. We love Scott here on the show. But no, I don't think they were aware that children were watching because otherwise they'd have put on something less pornographic than what they
call. I was going to say horrifying, but pornographic. Yeah. Sure,
it was inappropriate.
Yeah, it was inappropriate.
It was definitely inappropriate.
Yes.
What they described as football there, and I want to. I think everyone wants to, and we'll talk. There's fantasy implications here, but everyone wants to bail on Dobby. Dobby. And he didn't play well. Bad day at the office. But also, the offensive line was constantly under siege. Like, the Bears went from one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL when they got Montez Sweat to now, like, kind of league average. And he had himself a game last night.
Really.
Jalen Johnson as well was awesome. And I think with Dobbs, to me, it's not so much about... I mean, the interceptions, look, I think Jalen Johnson made an amazing play. Those tip balls. And look, he clearly wasn't good. But to me, the bigger problem is that they didn't score a touchdown until so late in the game. They just could not move the ball at all. And Dobbs, look, I thought his throwing, for the most part, wasn't that bad.
That's right on him.
Yeah, but the issue is that, and it's been the same issue all season for Dobbs, is that he just doesn't feel pressure. He just does not feel pressure. And he was getting away with it his first couple of games, and now it's kind of caught up with him. But to be fair, he was under siege, and the Bears' defense, I think, now has to be treated as somewhat of a real defense.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like Kevin O'Connell mentioned in the post-game press conference. I don't know what's going on with my voice.
It's the rant.
You mean
the rant? You left
yeah,
it all.
Yeah, you go ahead.
All right, yeah. I'll talk. Yeah, Kevin O'Connell. Look, he's done a great job this season in putting Dobbs in a...
Ghost
of Dan
Snyder. Ghost of
Dan Snyder. Yeah,
that's... That's what I get.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh, look, no.
I think O'Connell has done a great job this season at putting his guys in position to succeed, but clearly they couldn't figure it out last night. I don't know why there weren't more designed rollouts for Dobbs. The one time they did that and he just ran for 6-7 yards, like, why can't we do more of this?
Right.
And then also, for me, and I always get hung up on this game management stuff at the end of games, like, can we please not just run first down, second down and get into 3rd and 9 to try and ice
100%.
The game. Like, here's the thing is that the clock, the runs, all they do is make them call timeout. There's 2:30 left in the game and they just need a field goal. Like, the aim of the game here is not to run clock, it's to get first downs and end the game, and just running it into the line is not the way to do that.
Correct, so, and it's weird, earlier in the game when they actually were running effectively, they would go away from it.
Yes.
Yeah, look, and I also think, the entire Vikings team had a bad day at the office. Jordan, I mean, again, some of the Dobbs did not play well. The offensive line absolutely did not play well. The wide receivers, Addison had some bad drops. You know, there was the one down at the, there was that sideline throw that You know, he was wide open and felt like definitely the throw was a little bit off, but felt like if Addison had been more aware of where he was on the field, that maybe he could have made the catch. You know,
he was discombobulated.
Feet in back.
He made no effort to lean out and catch it. I think he probably could have caught that, or at least he should have made an effort.
Right. Kevin O'Connell, bad day at the office, as you mentioned, some of the late game management, and honestly should have challenged that first long play to Jordan Addison.
That's a catch.
You know, that's a catch, and that's 50 yards. And by the way, I would have beaten Dan Justice for Kickers, Dev, in our show league.
I lost to Dan.
You lost to Dan.
Because Ty Chandler had Mexico. Points. I needed six.
Here's the here's the play right here. It's all piled up, but you know, on replays, it doesn't hit the ground, and he winds up in Jordan Addison's hands. That's 4 or 5 points right there. He finds, you know, 10 targets, 6 for 39. I think as you see there, it actually never ends up hitting the ground and winds up in the possession of Jordan Addison. Never gets challenged. Here's the other play that we were talking about. Again, he just sort of a lazy route.
That was a weird one.
And he turns around. He doesn't have any situational awareness of where he is on the sidelines. Ball out of bounds would have been a big play there, and obviously put the Vikings in scoring position. The defense played really well, except the last drive they couldn't get a stop when they needed one. Hard to pin that loss on the defense. It's really on the offense, the whole team. But I think for fantasy, what we care about here is. Is Josh Dobbs the starting quarterback when they come out of the bye? They're on a bye this week. Kevin O'Connell kind of left that question open when he was asked about that. They're going to review everything, you know, huddle up. My expectation is that he will.
Yes.
That I think he gives them the best chance. Again, he did not play well, but the entire team didn't play well. It's not all on Dobbs. And they didn't have Justin Jefferson. So getting Justin Jefferson back, it will be a big key here. And we'll talk about what this offense looks like when we know what the quarterback is. But just it's worth noting that as you go in, if you picked up Dobbs to replace Cousins or Burrow or whatever, there's a chance that you may not have a starting quarterback. So as you head to the waiver wire, you're going to need someone to replace Dobbs this week anyway because they're on a bye. But just be aware, there is a chance he loses his job.
Yeah, very quickly, other side of the ball, Justin Fields. Not a great football game, but does provide his Justin Fields rushing value. No touchdowns, though. And then DJ Moore is just locked in every week starter, obviously. But you want them to throw the ball down the field a bit more.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. But Roschon Johnson overtakes this backfield again. There, we'll see what happens. They're on a bye as well. We'll see what happens when Foreman comes back. And by the way, solid little game for Cole Kmet in a game in which not much was happening offensively.
We're taking one more break. When we're back, we're bringing you our favorite futures bets on the market right now, right after this.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Time for a little Back to the Futures, but Matthew, before we do.
I just want to clean a couple of things up. During my rant about how dare they compare David Tepper to Daniel Snyder, it was brought up to my attention during the commercial break that one of the things I forgot to mention, that David Tepper has never been sued by his minority owners the way Snyder has. As far as we know, Tepper doesn't charge his employees for coffee the way that Snyder did. He doesn't charge fans for parking and admission to preseason practices the way Snyder did. He apparently hasn't been accused of stealing money from his season ticket holders the way Snyder has. And of course, it's never been alleged that he put the Carolina Panthers logo on his own personal plane and then charged the team $4 million for advertising the way Snyder was accused of that. Just wanted to clean all that up. I missed all those things.
Well done. All right. Well, speaking of Mike McDaniel, Jay, back to the futures. What do you got for us?
Okay, I got Offensive Player of the Year, Connor. Tyreek Hill is not the favorite for this award. He's plus 105. McCaffrey's the favorite. I think that's very wrong. I think Tyreek Hill should be a heavy favorite to win this award. He's on pace for 2,046 receiving yards, the greatest receiving season of all time. And here's why, to me, he is more valuable than McCaffrey, more likely to win this award. He is the key to the Miami offense. It is him. It is his gravity. He's Stephen Curry. And McCaffrey, on the other hand, is surrounded by more superstars, and I think that Tyreek will win this award.
I'm with you, Jay. I was a little surprised as well that he was not the favorite, although that gap is definitely tightening. Yeah. Listen, I'm looking at a win total here. Panthers under 2.5 wins is plus 135. I don't see anywhere where the Panthers can get two more wins. Maybe an interim staff gets them one more win, but when you look at this team right now, guys, it just feels like a big hill to climb, and I like that it's plus money.
Yeah, I like that. How about Mike Tomlin, Coach of the Year, at plus 1,200? Like, preseason win total was 8.5. It's currently set at 10.5, and I think they're going to go over that. They had the longest odds of any AFC North team to make the playoff. Their upcoming schedule is ridiculously easy. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to have 11 wins. Coach of the Year, Mike Tomlin, at plus 1,200. It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here for Jay, Connor, myself. Free David Tepper. Peace out.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.